What is up, everybody? This is Tyler, aka Grand Lethal 16, and I got with me, of course,
Johnny C303.
And we're back after long hiatus, back to the Digital Shinobi cause, back to our Nindo, back to talking about all these superhero movies, comics, nerd stuff, tabletop games, and more.
Yeah, some life happened for a little while, so we haven't put out an episode, but we wanted to get one out in early 2019, and hopefully this year we'll be a little more consistent in pushing out that content.
Oh, of course. And today we're going to be talking about everybody's favorite neighborhood-friendly Spider-Man.
Yeah, we're having a Spider-Man extravaganza. We're going to be talking about, well, there's a lot going on with Spider-Man lately. Across different media types. Media types like live action, animated, Sony, not Sony, MCU, however you want to slice it.
Really was the year of the spider. I mean, we got what? There's a game. There were two Spider-Man movies in essence, and then there was him in Infinity Wars.
I didn't even think about the game until you just said that.
PS4 game. There's an animated feature. There was a Venom spinoff, and there was him in Infinity Wars.
And not just a game, an amazing game.
A very, you know, another work of art, you know, made by passionate people.
Yeah.
You know?
It's one of those games that people won't shut up about, right? Like, after it came out.
It's fair. I played it.
I mean, well, there's been a few games like that. Red Dead was a little bit like that, too. Although, I kind of regret buying Red Dead over that game. I probably just should have got the Spider-Man game. I think I would have played it more. They're both great. I just, you know, I have a short attention span for gaming these days. But that's neither here nor there. We got a lot to get into.
You should make a review of Red Dead 2 where, like, the byline is just, I probably should have got Spider-Man for my PS4.
Or maybe I could develop a hack where Arthur Morgan is in a spider suit around on his horse and get the best of both worlds. And
I don't
maybe
think
like
we've
a
got
web
that
shooter.
Dimension yet. You know,
yeah, Cowboy exactly.
Spider-Man? That'd be pretty dope. You write that down.
Yeah, speaking of dimensions and spiders, so you had been imploring me among a lot of other people I know to go see this movie, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I'll admit, for some weird reason, I had like this strange notion that I wasn't really that interested in it. Ever since the Venom cutscene, which we'll be talking about Venom a little later on. This is really crazy. I skipped the cutscene. I was just like, I don't even care about this. Like, it's animated.
I've been here for 2 hours. I'm good.
Yeah, I was like, I'm ready to go. So that was a weird choice. I feel completely horrible about that now that I've seen this movie and loved it. I'm not alone in that. Everyone seems to have loved it.
It was very good.
I think I saw that it had a 99 on Rotten Tomatoes yesterday. Or it was like 97. Like
97,
yes.
Yeah, so it's
crazy.
It's pretty high. It's you know, it's Black Panther, but it might hold.
Oh no, maybe it was What We Do in the Shadows that was at 99, because I just saw that
really
too.
Good too,
which is just, you know, yeah, completely unrelated. But
no, it isn't, because Marvel took Taika Waititi and put him on Thor Ragnarok.
Look at you! You found the angle. You know? Yeah. Leave it to Tyler.
Comic books.
What is that like? That's like 1 degree of separation.
Yeah,
I'm impressed.
If I pull a 6 degree, that's where it goes. Crown me.
But yeah, so this movie is great. I actually saw it with my kid, which I think is important to say, because one of the best things about it was how it was like a good family movie, but also a good standalone movie. You know, I think with younger audiences, something like Infinity War is a little bit dark and heavy.
Yeah, especially if you're talking about what happens to Spider-Man at the end. No kids. There were kids crying in my theater. Shoot.
Yeah, exactly. You know, some kids handle it better than others. Into the Spider-Verse, I think you and I mentioned this yesterday when we were just after I'd seen it and I was talking to you, but okay, like we'll just get into it. I mean,
yeah,
Spider-Man,
yeah, man.
Freaking dies. So
he does.
Like,
and
it's kind of weird to say, like, oh, what a family movie. Oh, Spider-Man dies in the first 20 minutes or
and,
whatever.
And it's not like ambiguous, like Kingpin, like like, yeah, brings down them ham hock hands, you know, or them, yeah, them big old ham steaks, you know, on him and ends him real quick.
Yeah, he gives him the double fist of death or whatever you want to call that.
Hashtag on that.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, this, wow. So I'll just let you go for a second. You have, ever since I've known you, you've been, I would say, I'm not going to say obsessed, but, you know, low-key obsessed, yeah, with Miles Morales.
Yes, I have.
And now I understand why, you know, what all the hype was about. Mm-hmm. I mean, he looks like a young Tyler.
Maybe. I'm not going to agree with that. I can't do that to my ego right now, but he might look a little similar.
Yeah, but so why don't you tell me how they did, being someone that's such a fan of the Miles Morales comics, how do you think they did translating it to the movie screen?
They did better than I could have hoped. And I had seen a couple reviews that had some spoilers in them, but I didn't go full out and ruin it this time for myself.
You didn't full Tyler it?
I didn't full hardcore press Tyler, you know, this. I'm gonna be honest, like I was tripping about this movie. I'd been excited I've been harassing you since a year ago when they put the first little teaser trailer like a year in advance out.
Mm-hmm.
I've been freaking out, and I would say if I had to give you a quick number, they were about, I don't know, anywhere from a 94% to 97%, like, not shot for shot, but like perfect straight across the board adaptation. Like, I have to really nitpick to come up with something. Like, the goblin doesn't have wings and doesn't wear that silly, you know, normal goblin hat.
Mm-hmm.
in Miles in that Peter Parker's world. And, like, Aaron is a cat burglar, not an enforcer for Kingpin. But that's it. There. Bam. That's about it. Like, Aunt May knew about Peter Parker in that universe. Genki, who basically, in essence, is identical to Ned Leeds in Spider-Man Homecoming, because, honestly, Homecoming ripped him off entirely. he knows about what Miles is up to. You know, he gets the powers. He gets bit by a spider that he gets because his uncle brings along the spider from, like, some job where he stole stuff. Like, I don't know all the details, but that's basically what happens. Yeah, same power, same zap. As I told you, not an electric shock. You know, he isn't static shock, too. He's just, it's a bio-organic venom shock.
Yeah, as you know, I mean, I liked the movie a lot. as you're hinting at, I did criticize a little bit that for being pretty new to Miles Morales, I was just like, yeah, you know, he's like a spider that has electric shock and turns invisible like spiders do, because that's, you know, what spiders do, right? Oh, wait, no, it's not.
It's not. It really isn't.
But, I mean, they were cool powers, though, and it was neat to see a Spider-Man with a different skill set.
Oh, yeah, and I did like how they... You know, they made him younger. Of course, he had an uncle that died, because every Spider-Man pretty much does, with very few exceptions, have an uncle die.
Well, and in the movie, they even made a point to say that, like, every spider person that had gathered there, it was someone, right?
Yeah.
Like, whether it was, you know, they also, before he tragically loses his own uncle, he had to watch Peter Parker die.
And that's felt guilty his for Uncle it. Ben, actually, in the comics. During the Death of Spider-Man, or Peter Parker, I think it's Spider-Man, Death of Spider-Man arc, you know, Norman Osborn puts together a Sinister Six of him, Doc Ock, Vulture, Electro, Sandman, and I want to say Kraven the Hunter. And they all come rolling down Aunt May's to bear down on Aunt May's house. You know, so they come down the street, and Spider-Man fights him off, and he dies. And Miles was actually in the crowd of onlookers that, like, saw it and, like, had his powers, because he had been bitten, like, a month prior. And he's like, I could have helped, but he got scared and didn't. Now, granted, in the comics, he's 13, and Peter Parker's, like, 15 or 16. So it's, you know, I'm okay if a 13-year-old ain't brave enough to get into a fight when you have this big old Green Goblin like the one in the movie, like, fighting, you know, throwing fireballs and doing crazy stuff. But, yeah, it was done really well. The music was dope. Like, I'm going to be honest, the music... It was like Black Panther good, except it was more accessible to everyone, I think.
Yeah, the music, so, like I was saying earlier, so many people told me to go see this movie, and the first thing people would say to me is like, oh my god, it's so good, you have to see it. And then usually the second thing they'd say is, the soundtrack's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Which I do agree with, and I, you know, it's obvious that... as we continue to move forward in society, we're seeing more multiculturalism.
more celebration of diversity.
Exactly.
In, like, a non-forced, awkward way.
Right, yeah, and it's just, like, I loved, like, the hip-hop aspects of it. I think at one point I heard Notorious.
You did,
yeah. So,
and they actually had a, like, record skipping when sound effects would happen. They'd have, like, the record skipping and stuff, just, like, during action scenes and stuff. Like if he tripped over something or, like, jumped over something or scrambled or fell, they would actually skip the records, which was really cool.
Yeah, and, you know, since we're getting into details of storytelling, probably the thing I liked, the detail that I liked more than anything about this movie... and I guess it wasn't just one detail, it was a series of how they did this. But the way that they went out of their way to make it as much as possible, like a comic book jumping off the page, was really great. You know, loved that after he got bit, his thoughts started coming out on the screen, just like it was a Spider-Man comic. You know, the thwips appearing as they're slinging webs.
Bagel.
The old bagel thing. It throws the bagel and it hits him and just says bagel. Yeah, I loved that aspect of it. What did you think about that?
I thought... Shoot, I loved it. I loved how you got this internal dialogue that really made it authentic. Like, hey, I just woke up with powers or something. I'm freaking out and, like, this is literally what's going through my mind. I'm tripping right now. This is not normal. You know, he's like, oh my god, am I facing puberty again? The way that, let's see, what else? Goodness, there was so much in it after he got bit. I loved how his thoughts were really authentic. Like, even when he went back to his neighborhood, like, the first time the girl's like, hey, we missed you. He's like, wait, you missed me? You know, like, it was, I love movies that don't filter, don't edit too much how people think and how they talk. That doesn't always happen a ton, but I really love that. The other thing that was really cool about it was he didn't go straight up and he's like, oh, I'm going to be a hero. But he didn't do the Peter Parker thing where, hey, I need to make some money. He was just like, I'm keeping this to myself. I'm freaked out. Like the same way a lot of things to do with Spider-Man, like transformations and all the comic runs, is like, this is puberty. Like, there's oh, I'm a man now, so now I'm newfound, like Peter Parker and the Sam Raimi. I'm going to go make some cash. Or there's Miles who's like, my body's changing. I'm freaking out. Like, I'm just keeping this to myself and trying to maintain and, you know, mitigate the damage. And that was really cool. The other thing that was really neat is he got bit, and let's say he got hit by puberty right after he's literally doing a spray painting mural of, like, talking about how he has no expectations when he's just been told, hey, I need to know what you're seeing with yourself and how you self-identify and how you view and understand yourself. In an essay, he's like, F that. I'm going to go do some graffiti and say that I don't have anything at the moment. And then he gets bit and forced into a change, which is really neat to me.
Yeah, they definitely... you know, laid it on heavy with the storytelling there and just, like, the character transformation.
So, of course, now that Miles has all these new abilities and he's freaked out, he's like, I gotta find that spider that bit me and see what's going on, because I've read these comics and I think I know what's going on, but I need more information. And now he hears a boom and heads down some tunnel and there's some kind of sci-fi super machine or whatever.
Yeah, I think it was based off the... what do they call it? It's like the Hadron Collider. I thought that was cool. I'm really into, like, physics and quantum physics and stuff like that. So I love it when comics go there. Great fight. I was so shocked when at the end of it, like, couldn't believe that they were actually going to kill him off. I was just like, okay, well, this is rolling downhill already, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like,
what did you think of that fight?
Oof. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I knew it was going to happen because I'd heard just enough already. But I can't believe I'm going to say this. I liked that Norman Osborn was the one that, like, stuck him into the beam and was, like, basically the one that kind of killed him. Like, he was going
to
die.
It was a pretty psycho move. Like, yeah, for, like, the thing to be on, like, I mean, I know he's evil and stuff, but, like, yeah. That's just, like, extra reckless.
Oh, yeah. But because of the comics, it really makes sense because he's fighting Norman and the Green Goblin. He, like, literally takes a semi-truck because he threatens to, like, kill Aunt May or, like, Mary Jane, who's nearby. Like, Mary Jane runs into them with, like, a cement truck and then jumps out and he's trying to attack her, and Peter literally picks it up from right below the cab portion and, like, repeatedly smashes the whole thing on him. And then, like, one more, he's like, leave my family alone. Norman's like, I'm gonna kill him. Like, if you don't kill me, I'm gonna kill him. So he, like, drops the final thing and basically kills Norman, but then succumbs to his own wounds. So I'm like, I really like that now Norman basically kills himself, but then Peter still succumbs to his wound. So they, like, switch it slightly, but it's still, like, super accurate. Because I don't think Norman survived that, because you see, all you see is, like, his little curled green talon later, and you're like, oh, he ain't moving. That's a wrap.
Yeah, shades of that dead spider after Miles swatted it off.
Oh, yeah.
And comes back later, yeah. You see it all.
Yep.
No, go ahead.
It was also cool when Miles comes up to Spider-Man, he's like, can you get up? He's like, I always get up. I'm like, oh, God. They love to work with just the Spider-Man concept so much there.
Yeah, didn't turn out to always get up.
Well, yeah, another one got, well, another one got up in his place, but yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. I want to talk about the different spider people, because they were all such different flavors. I mean, there was basically Spider Diva, which was hilarious and I loved. I had no prior knowledge of Penny Parker.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think everyone, definitely the kid favorite, Peter Porker.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Spider-Ham.
Warner Bros. Is going to sue the shit out of them.
No, they must have had an agreement. For them to have the line later on,
that's all folks
line, they have to, you know that they're bulletproof.
I mean, how do you sue a cartoon, though? Like, are you literally, like, it's a cartoon thing, or are you just
gonna sue? I mean, lawyers will figure it out, I know that.
So, Spider-Person's going to come from another universe with, like, a subpoena for him.
But, my personal favorite was Noir Spider-Man, voiced by Nicolas Cage, no less, which... when I realized it, I was sitting there, like, I was like, whose voice? And then I, like, finally, like, figured it out. I was like, oh, my God.
And they made him work. They didn't... Nicolas Cage is... He's like a Scoville-scale hot sauce. Like too little, and you're like, what did I do? And if you put too much, like, it's terrible. But if you have just the right amount, the food is great. The flavor is excellent. It's heightened.
Yeah.
He's a very delicate spice to add to anything, and they got just the right balance, not too much of him, not too little, and those lines just...
Yeah, I love that his fascination with the Rubik's Cube, he can't get the colors right because he's black and white guy.
Oh, yeah.
Just the whole shtick was awesome. Who else did we have? We had Gwen Stacy.
Spider-Gwen, yep. Peter B. Parker.
Peter B. Parker.
The thick Spider-Man.
Yeah, thick boy Spider-Man, loser Spider-Man. Which I thought was an interesting concept. Did we nail all of them?
And Miles? I don't know. Yeah. There were six total. Three more main ones, which was like Spider-Gwen, Peter B. Parker, and Miles, and the three back up kind of comedic relief, I guess. So yeah, you covered them all. Yeah. One of my favorite Spider-Noir lines was the one when they're in Aunt May's house. With that fight with what's remaining of, I guess, the Sinister Six.
Yeah.
And he's all like... We don't choose the ballroom. We just dance.
Yeah.
You know? Because they're a wreck in the house. She's like, get out of my house.
Every time he... Just pretty much every time he said one of his just, like, over-dramatic, corny lines. That's why it was so perfect that it was Nicolas Cage, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They utilized him on brand, which was great. But, yeah, so, you know, Miles Morales, he goes through... I guess we haven't even talked... really about what happens, the reveal with his uncle. It was very, you know, it had shades of the whole, like, I want to say Batman, where it's just like, oh, like, here's the hero next to the dead body. Like, let's assume that that he killed him,
stupid,
like, even
yeah.
though it's a huge jump and is, like, not anything like what we're used to with seeing with this hero in the city.
Great detective
but,
work.
Yeah, Officer exactly, Davis. Right? But okay. And, you know, I guess it would be more boring if Spider-Man was like, well, hey, this person was just shot. He needs help. Definitely wasn't me.
Yeah, you know. Oh,
I'm just sitting there thinking, like, you think Spider-Man used a gun?
That
like,
was some,
what?
That was some J. Jonah Jameson level bullshit. Like, oh, well, of course it was Spider-Man. He's right here. I mean, of course he shot this guy from point blank and stood over him for a while or kneeled over.
I want mug shots of Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly. Small bullshit. Yeah, but, you know, I guess it gave the dad something to do for the rest of the movie because he needed to have a reason to keep snooping and kind of being around.
Yeah, and it helped add to the tension of, like, whether or not he was going to walk into the room that Miles was hopelessly dressed as Spider-Man
as the
in.
The same Spider-Man, yeah, no less. Yeah, it was great. I think Aaron Davis was done really well. The thing about this movie makes me wonder, what are we going to do with Childish Gambino in the MCU now? Because he's Aaron Davis in the MCU, and... You don't want to. I mean, you want to come in second when it comes to making money. Like, you want to follow the trend and make cash, but you don't want to copy the same storyline. You know, so I guess we don't get Miles Morales or Aaron Davis anytime soon, because you don't want to, like, rip it off. Or not rip it off, but have to do it again. And, yeah, but, yeah, it was done fantastically. Mahershala Ali was excellent as the Prowler. He was super funny. I love his, you know, classic, hey.
The shoulder thing is just, I love it because I've already done it to you, what, twice?
Yes, you have.
outside of
that context, granted, but yeah, just for fun.
It's such a great moment. I love it. He ended up using it as his ult, basically.
Yeah, that was really great.
Hey.
Just put the smackdown on him with that electricity. That was amazing.
So what did you think of Kingpin's motivations and, like, the diabolical scheme? Every superhero story has a supervillain with a diabolical scheme. What did you think of this one?
Well, it wasn't Killmonger, Vulture. But considering we got Daredevil 2 months before it, it was really good. Because, I mean, Vincent D'Onofrio's made Kingpin his own in the Daredevil series. And so the good news is they had that familiarity with him and Vanessa from that show that, like, everybody watched, especially the first season. So they didn't have to put as much explanation to who he was as a character in Into the Spider-Verse. But they still made it really good. Oh, you know, I'm a bad guy, but, you know, I got caught fighting Spider-Man. My family left and got themselves killed. And, you know, like, I could understand, you know, there's a lot of different ways to deal with grief, and trying to defy, you know, it is one of them. So, you know, trying to steal another Kingpin's family, I get it. Like, it was a lot better than I could have expected. Obviously, trying to wreck your own dimension and city to do so is a little crazy, but...
Yeah, that's the only part I didn't understand. And, you know, I guess psychotic supervillains are psychotic supervillains for a reason.
But there was some, like, humanity in it, which made it... It wasn't like the Dark Elves and Thor, the Dark World, or something where it's just evil for the sake of
it. It always comes back to the Dark Elves and Thor when we're talking about the worst.
Yeah, or Ronan, you know, just I'm evil for the sake of being evil. Like he had a motive, and that made me happy. And it was something understandable, like, you know. And I did love, like, in that line, like, you didn't realize early on in the movie, he says, well, you can't take any of it with you, you know, or
yeah.
You know, none of it's going with you. I was like, this is a pretty good reason to blow your money, get another, you know, wife and son. I mean, what am I supposed to say there?
Yeah. There's no store to buy those at. That's for sure.
Yes, that's for sure.
But yeah. Anyways, just well done. Fine, Sony. You impressed me. Good job. I was wrong about happy. This one, and happy.
Sony let me leave a movie theater happy without having Kevin Feige involved. That's phenomenal.
So I guess my question to you is: do you think it'll win an Oscar?
Yeah.
And if it does, how hard is Sony going to flex on the MCU?
Really hard. But let's see. It already got
that would just be so obscene.
It already got Best Animated Feature with the Golden Globe and the Critics' Choice. I don't see why it wouldn't. I hate to say this. I never thought I'd say this about a Pixar movie. I don't see why it won't sweep Incredibles 2. I mean, because Ralph wasn't good enough. And I don't think anything else stood out. So, yeah, Pixar is going to take an L. Maybe across the board. Like... Yeah, losing season. I don't know. Oh, awesome. 16 Lions, you know?
Can't wait to see what comes next with it. We'll move on to something else that... It's been a while since this come out, but you and I haven't talked about it, and it dovetails nicely with what we're talking about. And we're going to bring in a guest, Mythos the Bear.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good, great.
We are here to... we're going to talk about Venom now. And Tyler... I can't. I already know your opinions. I can't wait for them to be shared with the world.
Get pissed.
All right, so I'll just start by saying that I liked Venom.
Give it a number on a scale from 1 to 10.
I just liked it.
In context.
Yeah, like it was like a 6.5.
Okay.
I didn't not like it. I didn't love it.
You didn't entirely resent being in a theater for 2 hours. Like,
yeah, it felt, you know, it felt like a. I think the thing it did well is it felt pretty comic-ish, right? And I think that we're so used to live-action movies now with these types of characters because of the MCU being, like, having such high stakes and, like, such great writing and screenplay and just everything about it. And this was just a little more like, yay, we made a movie, it's got Venom in it. But go ahead and say your nice thing. You've got one nice thing to say about...
Two.
Oh, he goes. Wow. Yeah. It doubled.
I got two. Hold on, let me see if I can. No, just two. Okay. So the first thing is, and this is, I'm going to be serious with this. Well, I got two nice things. I'm going to start with the less serious. It had some Spider-Verse at the end of it. So that's number one. It had an extended into the Spider-Verse scene after the credits. So that's
the cut scene. One of the only cut scenes I've ever just left for.
No, don't get me wrong. At Homecoming, you could have done that because they trolled us. But yeah, into the Spider-Verse.
Oh wait,
at the end.
Sorry. No, this is completely. Before we move forward, we cannot mention the cut scene from End of the Spider-Verse. It's my favorite cut scene. I think. Maybe ever.
So the one with the where he starts in like the cemetery, kind of, or
no, into the Spider-Verse. We're backtracking.
The cameo, or
the Spider-Man, and he's doing the meme thing.
Yeah, Miguel. Yes. Yeah,
okay. Yes. My bad. I spaced on it.
Well, I know we're getting the order all screwed up.
No, that's
We've
fine. No, that's fine.
On.
You know what?
Well,
it's fine.
I just saw that movie like a week or two ago, so it's pretty fresh for me. So I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. Oh my god. You're pointing at me. As you're accusing me, you're pointing at me.
You're pointing at me. Ah.
And then of course, you know, the cop's like, I don't know who did point first, and Jameson's like, ah, it was Spider-Man, of course. You know, I'm like, oh, that's so Jameson.
Anyways, sorry to get us so sidetracked there.
Not at all.
But okay, so that had a little bit of Into the Spider-Verse.
While you're talking about Into the Spider-Verse, that Stan Lee cameo though.
Oh right, yeah. Oh man, that.
They couldn't have timed that better. Woo.
There was an audience reaction to that for sure. Everyone let out kind of like a I wouldn't say a gasp or like there was just an audible sound that audience made. So yeah, rest in peace, Stan Lee.
Oh yeah, but yeah, that was good. Granted they had to make it a joke at the end, but it was still really well put. And then they had the quote by him at the end. I'm sure that was added very recently, but you know the cameo was done a while ago. But yeah, they. Sony, goodness, you did real good. I mean, this next one kind of evens it out, but you did something amazing this year.
Yeah, how about we moved on to Venom, and then we're still talking about Spider-Verse.
Okay,
it's kind of like a nice microcosm of
those two movies. Just keep going from good to bad and back and forth. All right, so...
You were going to say something nice about Venom other than it has into the Spider-Verse.
Okay, there's one more thing.
At the end of it.
So I'm going to get real. I'm going to stop talking shit for a minute. Love it or hate it, Venom's a movie that the MCU never would have made. And I got to give Sony credit for that. I don't think the MCU ever... They haven't made a villain movie. I mean, unless you consider Infinity War a Thanos movie, which it could be. You know, if we ever get a director's cut, we'll really see if that's the case. But the MCU never would have made a straight-up Venom and Eddie Brock are the main character. I'm sure they would have made Venom a pretty damn good villain. They might in 5 to 10 years. Who knows if they ever get all the access and it's not an overused property at that point. But they wouldn't have made the movie. So I got to give them props because that was something unique that wouldn't have been done by the people who've been kind of the premier comic book movie adaptation artists. So yeah, I got to give them credit for that. I mean,
what about you, Mythos? What did you like and what did you enjoy and not enjoy about Venom?
Well, first off, I have to really agree. I don't think that anyone would have really touched Venom with a 10-foot pole after, like, what was it, Spider-Man 3?
We don't talk about that.
That Spider-Man ended with two. It always has. That's just the way it works.
That movie probably should not have existed. And so I think that really put a lot of people off from doing another Venom. Mm-hmm. And I think that this was done really well. When I did my review of it, I gave Venom a B+, just because I thought it was funny and it still had like some of the darker edge. Like maybe there were. Taken a lesson from Deadpool on that. And then I don't like CGI at all. Like, it has to be done really well, and I think that they really pulled that off, so that gave him a few extra points and bumped him up.
And he was at least buff.
I do agree. Yeah, I do agree. That's actually a point I haven't heard before. The physical appearance. And, like, the way it transformed.
Stature.
Yeah.
It wasn't Topher Grace.
Yeah, it wasn't Topher Grace in black with, like, that eyebrow raise with the tape, you know? There was effort put into, other than the mark, having it, that was Venom. Like, no one could confuse that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, getting into cons, there was a lot on this list, even for me. The villain was completely, I didn't buy it at all.
What do we call it, Milk Toast?
It was just like, it was like so obviously supposed to be like evil Elon Musk or something.
And the Iron Man movies already had enough evil corporate, evil guy we don't need another one of those
ever. Right, again. And it's just, like, it's so... I didn't buy that someone so ruthless would be, like, trying to, you know, better humanity no matter what the cost kind of thing. Like,
oh, yeah.
There wasn't even a shred of guilt to, like, his actions or anything.
Yeah, I think it would have been more believable if he was doing these things and didn't realize what was going on in the background.
Maybe getting manipulated by Wyatt already.
Or, like, you know, had some cognitive dissonance going on where, like, he was telling himself it wasn't that bad or, like... But yeah, just, you know, the way that, like, he told that one guy when he put him in the room with the thing and opened it, like, the first guy was just...
With the BS,
I just wasn't buying any of it. And, you know, I just, the plot in general left a lot to be desired.
Reminded me of Daredevil for some reason.
Right, and then also just, like, the thing, like,
the bad
he's with his girl, and then he just, like, completely... screws over his girl while also disregarding, like, the most basic journalistic ethics. It's just, like, I was just like, okay, this is kind
of dumb.
This
was more Sony speed.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
It's just, like...
There go our endorsements.
Yeah, it's... and this is where the MCU just... Sure, they never would have done Venom, but they also never would have done such a sloppy put-together story, like, writing-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing I think I noticed. Like, I enjoyed... Just, I think the reason I say that I liked it and didn't hate it, like a lot of people, is just that I enjoyed, like, seeing Venom more or less looking like the Venom I'm used to. There were some cool fights. Eddie Brock was somewhat interesting. And other than that, there, you know, it was, whatever. Like, will I watch it again? Sure. If it's on cable. 15 years from
now. Yeah, if it's free.
I don't think that one's really going free. In the collection. Yeah.
I don't need a steel case of that bad boy.
Yeah.
I mean, I just rented again from Redbox.
So. Yeah, I know you did. I was going to bring it up. I was going to say, "Hey, let's all say how many times we saw Venom."
You know? Well, that's all right because I mean, going around the table here, I would say you two definitely have more of a comics problem than I do.
Probably.
Much more addicted. So it would make sense that you would do that. And I could actually see Tyler renting it in the future to hate watch it.
Yeah, like a drinking game? Like,
yeah, and then texting me and just being like, oh my god, like I'm so dumb. Can you believe that they
like
did this?
Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh yeah, something. Like throwing a camcorder there and just like filming my responses to everything and just seeing all the angry faces Tyler can make, just the indignation.
I think you might have just come up with a great idea for some content. Maybe we should do some digital Shinobi hate washes of just the worst... comic book movies and nerd movies ever made.
Or the best movies to just record. Yeah, I mean, like, actually that brings up a kind of full circle Venom point. Like, so general rule of thumb, I've got this rule, and it has a funny story behind it. Actually, I'll start with the story really, really quickly. So I worked a part-time job at PetSmart last year, and I'd play around with dogs, and I'd have my iPod going, and sometimes I'd listen to music, sometimes I'd listen to movies. And so I listened to Dark Knight more times than I should admit, but it's Dark Knight, so it's okay. And I came up with this new evaluation. Does a movie hold up without the visual? Can you just listen to it and it makes a good movie? That's unfair. That's for just the highest of movies. That's like for your triple S rank. That's some old bullshit. Like, that's not fair. But the next step down is a comic book movie good as just a movie? So, for example, if you look at Civil War on its own, it's good just the audio alone. But if you look at Civil War as not a comic book movie, it would be an excellent-ass movie. Same as, like, Winter Soldier. Those are absurd. And Spider-Man is technically like an 80s movie reimagined for the 2010s. Venom doesn't really pass this test, but that's okay. Because again, MCU would never have made it, so I'm going to give it a little... I'll give it a 6 as well. I'll give it a 6.5.
No, you don't get to give it the same 6.5 I gave it. I think you're
giving
it... Oh, I
think you gave it a 6.
I think you're giving it a 5.5 tops.
Okay, it's not...
Maybe...
So, like, it was...
I feel like you're at 4.5.
Well, 4.75.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, okay, I paid a little bit too much for the ticket, so I'm a little pissed. But honestly...
Oh, yeah, you went here, right?
Oh, I went in Seattle. Yeah, and I, like, got the ones where you, like,
yeah, you got the nice seat, and... So... Yeah, you got the expensive snacks.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I got a pizza there.
That's
you
a
know,
tough one.
Just, oh, like, God. It was a $12... personal pan.
I bet you it wasn't luxury gourmet pizza there. Yeah. No. By the way, shout out to Pieology in Portland. I just had their pizza and it's just amazing. But anyways, I digress.
No, not at all. No, that's good. You know, give credit where it's due. Yeah, Venom is. I don't like Michelle Williams' wigs. they weren't even like trying to make them convincingly real. And the fact that they had her in there and did nothing with her, because she's like, I'm pretty sure she's won some awards. She's done some pretty fantastic movies. And Tom Hardy has done a lot of really awesome movies. Speaking of a Dark Knight movie, yeah, you know, among many other things. I think that's my main issue. Like, I can deal with the fact that I don't think it's a good movie in a vacuum, but even Riz Ahmed, like, not, but even Riz Ahmed, like literally, the cast is way underutilized, and they could have been cheap. Like, that's a really good cast. I mean, okay, Woody Harrelson wasn't really utilized either, but they had a lot of good actors and actresses that they did nothing with, and that's not bueno, you know,
yeah,
to me.
I agree with that. I was actually talking about that with my family when we rented it from Redbox. I really like Michelle Williams, and I'm glad that she was in something, like, more current that, you know, is mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't really use her character a lot, and when they did use her, it was kind of like, why the hell is she doing that? Like,
yeah.
Why are you running toward machine guns?
Sure. Yeah, no, I agree. And that's I think that's kind of the final overall takeaway that I'm going to leave with it. It's just like, I liked seeing Venom on the screen, but God, everything was just very disjointed. You know, it just felt like
it hurried.
It felt like they took pieces and then tried to like smash them together, even though they didn't quite fit. You know,
mm-hmm.
So
and then just rushed to a good old villain with the same powers as the hero or anti-hero ending. Mm-hmm. And
although it was, I did like that fight. I did like the setting of that fight, like being like the spaceship's about to take off. I don't know. And I guess that's like what that's just like the movie it was. It was just like they had cool situations, they had cool characters. They just failed to make them more interesting than they already were by themselves.
Yeah. And Sony. I'm just kidding. That's not fair. That's a little dangerous. No. I think I'm just still emoji movie bitter. So,
I didn't see that one. So,
No, I missed that on purpose.
Yeah.
I should have seen it. You know what? I think it was on something like it popped up on like Netflix or Prime Video. Well, sure, why not? I use emojis.
How far did you get into it? Did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Tyler.
I could have kicked a puppy. I was so upset.
Tyler, if you ever get in a dark place like that again, you know you can call me.
Like, I didn't talk to anyone. That was like
or our guest here.
Yeah,
you know, you have friends that care about you, and you don't have to watch the entirety of the emoji movie.
I didn't talk to anyone for like a week. That was real bad. That sucked out my soul.
Well, you know what movie I think is going to be better?
No, what movie?
Spider-Man Far From Home.
Hell yes, it will. Hell yes, it will.
Oh my God.
All right, so the trailer just came out. Let's start with you, Mythos.
I don't even have words for how awesome this looked.
Okay.
Like, really excited. I actually more watched the TV shows and stuff when I was a kid, so
mm-hmm.
I'm not really that knowledgeable about the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I didn't realize it was Mysterio. I was like, this guy looks familiar, but I can't, like, remember who he is.
Mm-hmm.
But I really thought that was an interesting concept, and I think kind of having Peter Parker be like, well, I kind of just don't want to be Spider-Man for a little bit, and then, like, everything hits the fan. We already talked about, like, the whole Aunt May thing going
on. Yeah, happy about to make his aunt real happy, it seems. It seems like he's trying to angle it for something there. I feel bad for Peter. Peter don't happy he was treating him like crap, ignore it. Remember that whole stream of text he was ignoring? Now he's gonna be like, hey buddy, wanna play some catch? You know, or you know what, enjoy your trip in Europe, why don't you extend it for another extra month, you know? You know, like he being a fiend there, and he knows he's wrong. He looks at Peter like, oh, I'm being a shit right now.
He's like,
now.
Oh, I didn't know you'd be home.
Oh, this is a bad look, isn't it? I know I'm wrong.
So I'm just going to address the other elephant in the room, other than that relationship. When the hell does this movie take place?
I have some theories. So, this either happens after Homecoming, before Infinity War, or it happens after Endgame. So, there's one of two ways this movie can end. This movie can either end with him on that bus, right as that cruise ship is landed in New York, which would piss me off a little bit.
Oh, wow. I could so see that.
You could see. That could be the bus bringing him back
from
the
airport.
Like, literally.
Oh,
that
my
could,
God. You're totally
and,
right.
And could you imagine we'd all have a heart attack? Like, you thought the
if you nail this, if we go back and listen to this and you ended up nailing this, I'm going to, you know what? I'll buy you a beer and a sandwich.
You know, if you go back and listen to your prior podcasts, you guys talked about like what Infinity War would be like, and right on the money.
Really?
I was like, oh yeah, they said that. And that's exactly what happened.
Well, there's a lot of logic. I mean, remember, I eat these comic books, so I, yeah. I have like something.
To, yeah, like, Tyler.
I've got like the pseudo cheat sheet.
You are I'm just riding your coattails on these podcasts.
For now.
You consume so much freaking information about this stuff.
I do.
It's a luxury for me to just be able to show up and be like, oh, I don't know, I'm some guy, I don't know, this seems pretty cool, and then just be like, wait, what's the thing, Tyler? And you're like, well, actually, and the arc, blah, 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 and I'm just like, God, I love this.
Yeah.
yeah, we learn something every day.
Yeah.
But that's one theory, so it'll be, like, right after, because, remember, the trailer, it shows Aunt May, and, like, she's like, yeah, you're Spider-Man, so there's one of two, either she thinks he's really Spider-Man, and somehow she just comes around to it really quick, cause, oh, you just saved that plane, or oh, you save the people in the ferry, or oh, you save those kids in DC. Because the DC one will be hard to explain away. You should be like, wait a minute, you were there, and you have the suit now. That's kind of BS. So I don't think he's going to be able to say, I'm not Spider-Man. Or he says he's not, oh, I just play it like as a mascot, you know, for like certain purposes, like on the street at times, and she just uses it to fundraise for stuff. Because like in the game, she, in the new Spider-Man game, she does like a lot of like charity work and stuff for like homeless people. So maybe she's just angling him to like make a ton of money to like support community stuff. So it's like one or the other. Like she either knows or she doesn't. But if it's after Endgame, all I know is Happy showed up. That letter said, that big old check said Pepper Potts. So maybe Tony's gone. We don't know. They're being smart enough not to give us any hints. And Nick Fury's back. But that could be either way, you know, because it could have been pre-Infinity War. It could be post-Endgame. We don't know with Nick Fury. But I will say that I think Mysterio, who we haven't mentioned yet, I will say that he probably has some degree of powers. I mean, there's one of two ways. If this is after Infinity War and Endgame, then I don't think he has powers. But if it's before, then I think he does. The reason is when he's, like, fighting that water thing, he does these glyphs that look like really weak versions of what Doctor Strange can do. I'm like, okay, so it's before Infinity War, then he found a mystic art book and kind of sucks, but he's incorporating a little bit in to like legitimize himself. If it's after, then maybe he saw Doctor Strange when the two Black Order people, Thanos' homies, came down to New York, and he like found a way to copy it to make it look kind of authentic, just to, you know, like, you know, I see that, you know, someone's using them pump up Reeboks, you know, to do stuff, so I'm gonna make my own like bootleg versions that kind of look legit too, like I can run fast or something. So I think it's one or the other. Also, though, one thing I noticed, and I'm trying not to go on an insane tangent, I'm sorry, you two, sucking you into a black hole of my nerdiness. I didn't see Cindy Moon, the Asian girl from the debate team, and in the comic, Cindy Moon is Silk, another spider person. So if this is after Endgame, maybe she already got grabbed and people are doing experiments and turn her into a spider person. If it's before, maybe she's thinking on the field trip. But if it's after, that'd be cool because, you know, maybe she didn't get snapped away. Maybe she was around and someone grabbed her and she's, like, in the bunker with powers now. You know, like, there's a lot of things. So, like, as soon as I noticed she was in the chair, I'm like, Cindy's not here. I wonder, is she a spider? Is she Silk yet? Like, what's up? Are we going to get, like, an in-credit scene where we, like, get evidence, you know? Or, I don't know. There's a gajillion ways. And, yeah. But anyway, you two. Yeah.
I mean, no, yeah, I don't have too many thoughts about it. I mean, you know, you filled me in a lot in our conversations yesterday just about, like, what you know about Mysterio. Mm-hmm. It's not a character I'm super familiar with. I am excited to see Spider-Man in action in a setting that's not New York. Mm-hmm. So I think they did a good thing there. And I'm sure that'll help with that global box office money, right?
Spider-Man is Prince money, let's just be honest. And after this year, can you imagine the 2018 Goodwill rolling into a 2019 film? Like, he hitting a bill this time. Shoot, I don't see how he couldn't, you know?
But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think that the trailer, even though it was a pretty intense trailer as far as, like, some of the combat and, you know, situational stuff we saw, I seem to remember something like the Eiffel Tower exploding or something very close to that. I don't know. I want to see where it goes. And, the elemental thing didn't look that great of an opponent, but hopefully it's just kind of like a lower level chump.
The Earth one
sort of thing
made me think of Sandman. I don't even care if they make Flint Marko a European. If they bring in Sandman, that's another potential Sinister Six person.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm chomping at the bit for that possibility.
What are you looking forward to with this one?
I'm just super excited to see another Spider-Man movie. That's not like all these other lame ass ones.
Yeah.
But
yeah, each movie we get removed from the travesties that happened beforehand. Like, not that all of them were bad, but just like the sum of the parts.
Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, right. So
Amazing Spider-Man was so terrible.
It was.
But anyways, you like any Spider-Man movies that are kind of like moving us forward, right?
Yeah, because I think that the MCU has done a really great job with this Peter Parker. He's hilarious, and they're kind of going for a younger Parker and bringing in more of this backstory, so we're not getting like in the original cartoon where he's like already in college and he's been Spider-Man for a while and he already is friends with Mary Jane as like childhood neighbors or whatever. So I think that's a really good spin on it that they're taking. And we kind of talked about this before when the trailer first came out, but maybe one of the reasons why Happy and Aunt May are so close is because
he was gone.
He was there for her when
Peter was gone for like a time skip. Yeah,
that was kind of like her support system was.
That explains why he's like, "What's going on?"
That's really interesting.
Like,
yeah,
that's.
Yeah.
Whew,
shit.
It's really good.
Tyler's got you can't see it, listeners, but Tyler's face just had a mind blown expression.
Yeah, kind of did.
And I have to agree with you. I also just wanted to say that like Tom Holland is awesome. Like, just wow, what a great.
That was a great casting.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about how MJ seems to have more of a role? Like, it's less nuanced. Like, if you go back to Homecoming, there's all these times she's in the corner of the screen, like, looking at him or just around him. It doesn't seem like she's being so subtle now. I mean,
yeah, especially, like, with the whole playing around thing when they interact with each other. Oh,
that's a terrifying joke, though. That's a
like,
me too
oh,
era.
I just have value because I look pretty? What? Never mind, you're pretty too, whatever.
Yeah, he definitely was like...
He was like, holy shit.
And it was that classic, like, Tom Holland Spider-Man, like, whoa, no, it's not like that.
I'm
awkward.
Oh,
you, like, you heard the sweat going down his back, like... You know?
Yeah.
So in each Spider-Man movie in the MCU... the Sony deal, like that MCU that the Marvel Studios gives them, is they get two not prominent Avengers in there. They haven't hinted anything yet. Who do you think they'll put in? Because they have to be people that are pre-existing. They can't be new people. Like, they could add in like Captain Britain, but it has to be an existing person that's already in the MCU. And they did Captain America and an Iron Man. Like, they could do them again. I keep thinking Doctor Strange would be pretty dope.
Well, whenever Spider-Man is on screen, you gotta have, it's a safe bet that Iron Man will make an appearance, right?
Yeah. But if not Iron Man, who would
I think
you...
that Happy is gonna play a bigger role in this one, so I don't think that they're probably gonna use Iron Man, because like Happy
It'd be too much
into
Iron
that.
Man.
Yeah.
You know.
So I think we already talked about how Mysterio kind of looks like he's using the Doctor Strange stuff, so I do think it would be interesting, makes sense if he was in there, like, why are you ripping off my moves?
Yeah, or like, how did you get access to the mystic arts? You are totally...
All right, just like, yeah, just shows up being like, whoa, like...
I've been sensing some anomalies
in
the area.
This is unauthorized usage.
You got a whistle.
That's a really good guess.
Who else, though? Who else? Like, it's got to be someone who's comfortable going across to Europe, right?
Maybe? I think... I'm not sure, because we don't know when exactly this movie is taking place, but maybe Captain Marvel, because... her movie's coming out.
If this
soon.
Is post-Endgame.
Oh my god, you're so good at analyzing things. Ugh. Those are great.
Those make the most sense, because
yeah.
I don't think Vision, he's too strong. I mean,
I don't know, I was
Black
just going to say something.
Black Panther money, but you don't relegate him to a cameo or you'll piss more people off.
I was going
to
be like, I don't know, maybe War Machine?
Still,
but
possible.
Also,
or Hawkeye, just the ringer.
Yeah. I was going to say that
would be dope.
Hawkeye would be cool too.
That because
I'm sorry,
they had that interaction during Civil War.
They're both insects. It'd be funny.
And so I think it would be hilarious if he came in and he was just like, "Hey, it's me. You remember? I threw that truck at you."
Like, or during like the or like at some point during Peter like opens up his suitcase and like Ant-Man like goes, "Oh man, I was trying to get out of the house." You know, oh sweet, I love Europe. You know, just like some nonsense. I don't know.
Well, didn't he make some kind of reference to Europe or something in this Ant-Man and the Wasp?
Yeah, that was Germany, because that's where the Civil War, that's where that fight in the airstrip happened. That was in Germany.
Yeah. I feel like it might make sense for him to go back to Europe and then kind of do that, because that's where...
I came over to like help with some relief efforts. I feel really bad about wrecking that.
It's like last time we saw each other was in Europe. I thought this would be a really good reunion.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
You just made me realize that I was saying earlier, I was like, I want to see Peter Parker in action outside of New York. We have seen it, but it was just an airport, basically. So
he was still pretty dope, though.
Could have been anywhere.
He was an Ant-Man, but he was pretty dope. I mean,
I want to see some of that old architecture.
Yeah. But I think if we're talking Mystic, it has to be either Doctor Strange or Scarlet Witch. But since Scarlet Witch is getting a show, Doctor Strange makes sense if Mysterio is using magic. But, oh man, I really hope it's Sandman. That'd be pretty dope. Oh, wait, Nick Fury. We didn't talk about him. I mean,
sure.
He came in and shot.
That was hilarious.
He's like, Mr. Parker.
Is he dead?
I don't think
want to roll him over so he can
tell his tongue. Yeah. Yeah, that line.
And it looks like Ned is dating the blonde girl from the silly high school video things.
Mm.
Because they were like cuddling each other in like the international trailer. I was like, oh, well, that's why. He's like, Ned, when I first fell in love, dog. I just finished a fruit cobbler. You know, I was like, oh, well, that explains it. It's new context to him. Or not, if he didn't get zapped away and it's been 5 years or whatever. But in the comics, in the Ultimate comics, you haven't given me this issue, but you give me a similar one. He finds out Peter Parker is pissed. He's like, hey, you are a child. I don't really like vigilantes. Like, if you're going to be a superhero, you are part of S.H.I.E.L.D. You are doing things under my orders. And you know what? For now, I'm going to tolerate your butt, but I'm going to be checking in on you. But once you're 21, I own you. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he in no way makes it, you know, confusing. He's all like, when you're 21, your ass is S.H.I.E.L.D.'s. And it's interesting because we're about to see that. And some other people have said, you know, we never thought we'd see that in movies. But he's coming, he's giving him a suit, you know, and he's going to be like, no, you're going to be part of S.H.I.E.L.D., kid. You aren't doing this neighborhood friendly. You're going to be doing this New York and international friendly Spider-Man under my orders, you know. But I can't wait to see, you know, we're already going to get Captain Marvel where we've got Nicolas Cage did so well. He's still in my mind.
No, I vote that we see. I want more Nick Cage, and I want him out of character, just as the villain, like that they're fighting. Like it turns out, Nicolas Cage has supervillain powers, which would make sense, right?
He'd make a good Riddler, but that's DC. Could you imagine? Like, I mean, not you know, like because he just I don't know, whatever.
I can see that. That'd be good.
That was so much nonsense. We just veered off.
But Nick Fury, I mean, we're already getting like the buddy. Not to just take things out what you see in the trailers, but we've got some Lethal Weapon style like buddy cop shit coming with Captain Marvel, I suspect. And now we're gonna have him in Spider-Man. So I feel like he comes back after the snap for sure, and this is post snap because I mean, you're starting to really pump Samuel L. Jackson back into these movies. You know, he hasn't been around since, like, Ultron for the most part.
Maybe he'll finish that F-bomb.
That would be amazing if he, like, gets unsnapped and you just hear this hard F. That would be beautiful. That would be, wow.
Probably not.
But it would be pretty dope. One more thing. Since we already started talking about Miles Morales, I keep wondering if Miles Morales is, like, 8 years old during Homecoming. The snap happens, he doesn't get snapped away, and he's like 13, so he's like prime age to get bitten by like a third Spider-Man MCU movie. I'm just clearly still chomping at the bit for more Miles Morales. But
they could be setting it up to do like a whole Spider-Verse type thing in the future.
Oh yeah. The only problem is Miles Morales doesn't really come into prominence until Peter Parker dies, and I like Tom Holland too much for it, so I can't do
that.
Well,
maybe when he comes to the end of his contract, they'll just do it.
No, they like, oh, they stick it to Sony. Like, oh, well, you know. You didn't tell us you're gonna kill him in the third one. All
right, well, we're gonna sign off, and you can continue your Miles Morales fantasy projections to the both of us once I stop hitting record here. Thanks so much for recording with me. Thanks to Mythos the Bear for joining us.
Where can we
find you on social media?
I have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, all at Mythos the Bear.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Obviously, Grand Lethal 16 on everything.
JohnnyC303 on some things for me.
Yes, and of course, we have our Digital Shinobi 1, where we'll be throwing up this podcast shortly. Enjoy. Thanks for listening in, folks. Peace.